and welcome to Marooned at MacBytes Headquarters, day 266. How are you all doing? Where's the chat gone? There we go. If it sounds echoing here, does it sound different? Does it sound different? Let me know. No, I'm not seeing the chat. Don't play with my mind. I'm not in the mood today. Ah, hello. Wrong chat. That's last night's chat. Never mind. Right. Hello, Jonathan. Good grief. You made it in first. Excellent. Oh, and you love the Brooklyn special too. Good. Glad you enjoyed it. Hello, Paul. How are you doing? Do let me know if it sounds different. It sounds different to me in here. But that could be my mind because I know what's been going on. Oh, chaotic. Just chaotic. Where to start? Tell me what you've been doing all weekend. Well, I've been suffering. I am absolutely filthy. I am covered in dust from head to foot. Hello, Kim. Sound fine to you? Good. Oh, you sound the same. Just me then. No, we're not on the new Mac yet. Still in the box. And there's the old Mac booting up. Oh, we do need to know what you've had for dinner, Jonathan. Photos, appreciated. We've not eaten yet. Don't recall breakfast. Definitely didn't have lunch. And then Mike went out with the dog while I sorted out the rest of it. Oh, an iPad update. Fabulous. The 17th and 24th. That's cutting it fine, isn't it? On Apple's part. Just a chicken sandwich. Ah, but you see, I can lust after the bread, Jonathan. Which I can't eat. CQ Deb. At least it's, well, fingers crossed there before Christmas came. But you know what they're like with their dates. Ours was predicted the 11th to the 18th and arrived unceremoniously unannounced on the 3rd. So it was 7 days early. So I think we should start getting giddy from the 10th on your behalf. That'd be fun. Yes, so what adventures have we been having today? Well, I'm filthy from head to foot. Where does the dust come from? You see, I leave the kit there in all its glory and then I come to it and it's like, oh, I pick something up and there's dust around it. Where does the... How? Obviously, I'm not big on household chores and things like that, but it's had to be done today. One, I have a missing charger. This is critical. Because it's not a standard charger, I can just use something else. No, it's the charger for the camera, the Sony camera, which means no video if I can't charge the batteries. Where's it gone? I have no idea. So what I had to do last night during the shows was dig a cable out that would attach to the camera and then put the batteries in the camera one after the other and charge them in the camera. They're now charged. So that problem is not as pressing as it was, although I would still love to know where they've gone. The next issue was we decided before we put the Macs in, a bit like Paul, but without moving house, thank God, that we would sort the office out. The studio is pristine, the office less so. Because stuff comes in and you leave it there to deal with. So we decided everything would get dealt with. Sitting here now, well, it's much better. So from that perspective, yes. But actually doing it, I loathe stuff like that. I do. I have found some toys, though, that I'd forgotten I'd got. I found 2 1-terabyte SSDs that were in cases that said, look, I'm a 1-terabyte SSD, that I put in the wrong drawer. So because it didn't go in the SSD drawer, we have different drawers for different things. The SSD drawer being the top one, I'd forgotten I had them. I know, it's terrible. Kim would be so proud of one drawer. That's the top one. The fourth one, thought it was a third, but it's the fourth one. The fourth one is the tooth drawer. No, it's not full of teeth, but it is full of... all that stuff. Tooth tape. Oral-B satin tape. Tooth tape. It's also got little interdental brushes. There's an entire drawer in the office full of teeth toys. It's next to me, you see, just at the height that I can get to. So they've all been consolidated. I probably got more than Kim has. I shall take a picture or do some video. Q. Hello, Paul. Is it Mike in the office and you in the studio on a standard day? No, Paul, it's the other way around. What we used to do when Mike worked from home was that we would both be in the office. The office is much, much bigger. The studio is smaller. It's also lined with bookcases for the sound, and it's got the soundproofing and the four panes of glass and all of that. But it is actually a bit smaller. So I tend to work in the office. I couldn't get three monitors in the studio, but we have actually just done it. On certain days, Mike has five or six screens in there, but it's a bit on the crowded side with that much. So normally when he worked from home, he would work in here with me. We just work together. He would also train in here, which is why I own a pair of ear defenders. You know, those big headphone like things that you see on people using jackhammers. Yeah, I actually own a pair of those. And I worked out if I used my in-ear headphones, so either my AirPods or my backups, because the batteries don't last long in AirPods. I've got a backup pair. What's this? Hang on. Right way up. Teotronics. They're brilliant. They are very, very good. So they're just a little bit bigger than the AirPods. So I've got those, and I've got my Echo Buds as well. So I've got enough headphones like that. I put those in, and then to muffle him, I put the ear defenders on the top. But once it became a permanent thing, Mike said, this isn't fair on you because you're listening to the same training day after day after day. You probably can't think straight. And I thought, no, I can't. But I wasn't going to say anything. So we took the decision that he would move into the studio during work hours. So the studio is now like his work area during the day, which if I'm working really late, then it's probably around 11 o'clock, half 11 before I'm up anyway. If I don't go to bed till 6 o'clock, even if I got 5 hours, that's 11 o'clock. So the first half of the day, it's up to him where he works. If he wants to work in the office, that's up to him. Sometimes he bobs in to use things. So I like see him pass. I'll be thinking, what was that? And he said to me, it's because the Mac in the studio doesn't have Hindi on it. And I said, oh, I didn't install it on that one. You get two licenses. I think I put it on the laptop. Because we went to that conference, if you remember, the podcasting conference in Birmingham. And you could take your laptop with you, and it was a workshop. So he had his Hindenburg on his Surface, and I had it on my laptop. So I said, that's why it's not in there. I would never be editing audio in the studio. I would do that in the office. So that's why he flies in and out. But other than that, he works in the studio and I work in the office. Kim's got stuff stashed around as well. I have had to consolidate Kim, because I've got so many different types. He prefers me to use teepees. That they're metal with like white furry bits hanging off it. But I freak out at the metal. I really do. It feels like it's scratching my teeth. So I freak out with the metal. I much prefer the wisdom brushes that are like plasticky, rubberized. They're like a plastic stalk with rubberized bits on. But he would much prefer I use the others. So we compromise. I use half and half when I can cope with. I call it the yard brush, which basically means a huge brush. They're colour coded. And I think he wanted me to have a purple one. And I looked at it and I thought, there's no way. There's no way. And of course, he can see what he's doing, so he can make it work. But I can't see what I'm doing. So I'm like, I'll bend it round. I'll do this. So that's why there's so many different ones. I've got the green ones and the yellow ones and the purple ones. And there's pink ones as well. The tiny ones are pink. The really, really, really tiny ones are pink. Because I wouldn't let anybody go anywhere near me with any kind of brush. The poor hygienist, the first one. She emigrated. I don't think it was related, but she went to Australia, so it was about as far away as you could get. But she was lovely. She was really, really lovely. And she was like, well, how about we just try with this tiny one? And the first time I'm like, no, can't handle it, can't cope. Second time we tried the pink one. But I'm all right now. I'm all right with pretty much anything. Mike's had so much stress, he's taken to wine again. I see, I much prefer the plastic coated. It feels better to me, Kim. So, yes, and they're all in the nice drawer now. Ah, Grandma Isaac's uses TP brushes. Never knew they made so many. Oh, Jonathan, you should see them. When you go into the dentist, they actually sell them. Now, they're not cheap to start with, but one packet could be like $4.99. But on Amazon, exactly the same brushes are like £2, £2.99. So the first time I'm like, okay, I'll take one of those. But after that, I'm like, he tells me the colour and then I just go buy them off Amazon.
Yes.
Is Lola coming in or not?
I want some food.
You've not had any treats today, have you?
She has.
Oh, she has, hasn't she? Oh, you're lying, Toad
Lady.
She
had loads.
She did. She had a packet
an
of ranchos.
Afternoon snack. And a dentist stick.
She did. She did. Well, we've got a little surprise for you, Lola. You're going to have to come in to see it. I'm going to sound a little bit... I'll move my microphone. I've got to move because we've got her a toy, haven't we, Lola? What's in there? Move that up there so she can sit. No, that's USB cables. But what's in that one?
That's your treat drawer.
A whole treat drawer! What should we have? How about some sausages and a dentist stick? There we go. Oh, and there's a jumbo as well. Nope, there was some oatmeal jumbos. There we go. Oh, look at that. So as well as the teeth drawer, we now have Lola's treat drawer. She's a little bit reticent at the moment, isn't she? She's like, what's going on? Where's the box gone? Right, sausages. There you go, sausages. Right, Daddy hasn't got anything to cut them in half with, including a knife and fork. Oh, you cheeky girl. Oh, she's legged it with that one because it was so big. It is an entire drawer, absolutely full of her treats. I'm not sure how we got an entire drawer empty. Not now we've looked through all the rest. Because I know Tracy wanted to know how we deployed the IKEA furniture. We might get round to showing that at some point. But I'm sat here at the minute and can't see the desk. I've got magazines that are there for scanning. I've got half a pair of headphones.
Come on.
Everything is just strewn all over. Come on.
Come on.
Come and say hello to everybody. Move that out of the way, Daddy. Right. Come here. Come here and say hello. You were giving us chapter and verse while we were trying to sleep this morning, weren't you?
She's a shy dog.
It was like a Gregorian chant this morning, though, wasn't it? What's she got on her back?
It was a bit of greenery from outside.
She's now bringing the garden in with her. So what we've been doing today... Oh, exactly, Jonathan. Don't buy anything at dentists. They try to fleece you. I think it's because Amazon can buy in bulk. And, you know, I don't think the dentists are trying to make that much of a profit on it. I just don't think they can buy them at the price that Amazon can. So if you're going in and then you need something specific and you need it right this second, then you can get it from there. But other than that, no, Amazon's the place to go. Right, what shall we have now, Lola? Everyone can hear the rustling, you know. That is a jumbo. Shall we high five? High five. Good girl. Other one. No, not the same one. The other one. Oh, you're not high fiving for that. Only high fiving once. Go on. Go and take it. She's a scream. We have to get her doing this on video, which we'll be able to do when we can see the floor again. Last saw the floor about 5 hours ago. You don't feel bad you pay for the dentist. Exactly. I don't think dentists make much money from that. And the way it works over here, my dentist, he doesn't actually own the practice. He's like, you know, like the flying vet. He's like the flying dentist. So is it an associate dentist or something? He obviously pays them certain part of it, the money he makes to run the practice. But he does work at other practices. He flies around other practices because... He's more highly skilled, so there's no point having him looking at, like, you know, three-year-olds, introducing them to dentistry, because he's on the cusp of doing implants. So he goes to different practices different days. So I'm not sure buying three packets of brushes would make much of a difference to his income, so I don't bother. There you go. Right, I'm wrapping up this packet and getting on to the next one. If she comes back, she can have the dentist stick. If she doesn't, then she's settled and she's had enough. If she knew there was a dentist stick, she'd be back. So what we've done today, Mike, how far have we got, apart from fighting with that computer over there?
Oh, quite far.
Which is now white screening, so I think we might have to declare one dead today. It's the one, it has a long and checkered history, this one. We hit a brick wall about 6:30, about 40 minutes ago, it wouldn't see the mouse, then it wouldn't see the keyboard, then it wouldn't see either. It is, however, seeing two pairs of AirPods when there's only one available. I renamed the AirPods and that was that. Now it thinks this too, and it can connect to both of them, which is interesting. But a keyboard and a mouse, no, it doesn't want to know. I did an update that it said to do, and it's now at widescreen stage. So I think this one may finally have died, which isn't an issue, I guess. But it's sad nonetheless. Ooh. Soft pick and get them from Costco. We got some from Costco, but we've not been to Costco in ages. I think the ones we got from Costco were green. And they're not Wisdom, but they are identical to Wisdom. Oh, they do look similar, only they're not bent. They're green like that, but they're not bent. That's a really good shape. That would be very useful. Mine are straight. Oh, that would be incredibly useful. I'll have to see if I can get any of those. Gum soft picks. They look identical, apart from the fact they're not bent. But he has you bend the other ones, so it would make a lot more sense, wouldn't it, to buy them bent. So I don't know why they don't make them like that. Oh, let's have a look what Jonathan's got. I used to use floss, but the floss was like cotton. It was so thin, I couldn't see it doing much good. Oh, I've seen those, Jonathan, but I've not tried them. I use this tape and it's got like a minty flavour, but it's a bit thicker. The only issue now is it won't go through at the back because they're that tight. So I said I couldn't do it. He said, you're probably not trying hard enough. He had a go and he went, no, I wouldn't do that. He said, I think you might. No, it might cause more harm than good. Leave it alone. So that's what I did with it. So I've got this tape, but I don't use it in certain places. That's why there's so much dental stuff, because I need different brushes and different tapes for different teeth. So there's an entire drawer full. And Kim would also be impressed that within the drawer, there's some plastic boxes. And the plastic boxes I take out with me. So, you know, in the old days, when we were all much younger and much more innocent, I would, if we're going out to Cotinian do, I would just open the drawer, take out the little plastic box and take it with me. And it's got tape in it and it's got brushes in it and it's got a tube of toothpaste in it. But the tube of toothpaste is the tiny little sample one, so it fits neatly in the box. Oh, when I got my new hygienist, still not settled with her, she still keeps calling me Mrs. Giles, which to me, like, you know, rule one, learn the patient's name. Every time I go and she says, hello, Mrs. Giles. And I'm thinking, that's my mother. And I say, call me Elaine. Craig does. I call him Craig. He calls me Elaine. And I've had her as a hygienist, what, 3 years now? Yep, still waiting. Still waiting. Every time. We'll get there in the end. £1 for 280 of them. The only slight issue with that, Jonathan, is actually going to Poundland, isn't it? But apart from that, that would work great. I would be really happy to do that. Hello, Anthony. Anthony was having a problem getting some Bluetooth headphones to connect to the Mac. Turned off the iMac Bluetooth. Forgot both the keyboard and mouse. You use Bluetooth. Been there, done that, Anthony. I will totally admit to having done the same. What I said to Mike was attached to this computer via remote desktop. I'm sat in front of it with a keyboard and a mouse that wouldn't connect. And there was this dialogue box and I said, click advanced. So he clicked advanced and there's three options in it. And the bottom one is let a Bluetooth device wake this machine. So obviously you want that one turned on. The other two will show you the Bluetooth panel. If it can't find a Bluetooth keyboard and or a Bluetooth mouse when it boots. And I contemplated turning it off and I thought, you know what, we've not got time to play around. So we just rebooted. At which point it couldn't find a Bluetooth keyboard or mouse and it hung. We couldn't get past that because, you know, did I mention we didn't have a Bluetooth mouse or keyboard?
I get a lot of people calling me sir. Particularly, I'm reading ahead.
Oh, carry on.
Johnny says he doesn't like people calling him sir.
I can't honestly say I've ever been called that, but I have been called madam.
A lot of Indians do when I'm training.
That's probably a cultural thing.
Yeah.
I tend not to bother no matter what, unless it's... I mean, I think in the case of a hygienist, when she knows you're somewhat on the nervous side anyway, because I don't like that. I much prefer the dentist to the hygienist. They freak me out, hygienists. It's like, did they go on a YTS course for 3 weeks? Whereas the dentist is a dentist, you know what I mean? They know what they're doing. But the hygienists do freak me out. But I think if she knows that you're in any way nervous, don't start calling me Mrs. Giles on the way in, when, one, I'm not married and Mrs. Giles was my mother. You know, and I've asked you a million times to call me Elaine. But if it's a cultural thing, I get called all sorts. Miss Elaine, not Miss Giles.
I got called
Miss Elaine.
I got called Thomas the other day.
Loads of people call you Thomas.
Yeah. It was a Swedish person. And she wanted some help with Excel, so I messaged her on Teams, and she comes back and she says, I said, do you want me to call you? She says, hello, Thomas. Yes, please. So then she gets on the call and she says, hello, Mike. Sorry, Thomas. I said, it's Mike, actually.
You see, it's your own fault for having a surname that could be a first name. Mind you, so could mine.
True.
There are people called Giles.
Yes.
Mm.
I used to work with one.
Mm.
There was a guy who I taught, I did IT induction for our Liverpool site on a Tuesday, and there was a guy called Thomas George, but because the way it's displayed in Teams, it said George Thomas.
It's confusing.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't get giddy unless I've actually asked somebody to call me something else.
I was going to say something, then I've forgotten what it was. Oh, yeah, I was going to tell a couple of stories.
Oh, Kim's had issues with the dental tape. Now, you see, Anthony's got it right. Have a field on the database that says preferred name. They actually do that on a paper form at hospitals now. And Macmillan did it with my dad. It was about the only thing they got right. It went downhill. The first question was name, so it filled the name in. And his actual name was James Ronald Giles, but his name was Ron. He didn't even know his first name was James until he got his birth certificate to get married. I can't get, really. Isn't it weird how people call a child something and then call them something else?
Yeah.
And not tell them. It's not telling them bit that's weird. So he got his birth certificate. And he asked for a birth certificate. He had his date of birth. And he said, oh, my name's Ronald Giles. Anyway, the woman comes back. She's the only one that's born on this day with the details, you know, of who your mother and father were. Is this one? You're actually called James. And he went, am I? He had no idea. So he put down his proper name, James Ronald Giles, and then they said, and what do you like to be called? So he said, Ron. So she put that on the second box, and after that it went downhill, didn't it? I didn't bodily throw her out. I did nearly wrap the telephone cord round her neck.
True.
But apart from that, no, I wasn't that bad. Not that stage.
No.
But that's logical as far as I'm concerned. I always sort of say to people, you know, how do you want to be addressed? But I guess it's a thing, isn't it? And what's the one that you talked about this week?
I don't know. Remind me.
It freaks me out, this, because I'm thinking, oh God, it's clearly so important to them, and I don't want to make a mistake.
Oh, that one.
That
yes.
One.
She, her, they, etc.
Where you put your name, and then you put your full name, and then in your signature you put she, her, they,
something like that. I got an email from somebody who had watched the recording of one of my webinars and wrote to me and said it was fantastic, thank you. She put her name and then in brackets she put she, comma, her, comma, they or whatever it was. So I automatically assumed she's, you know, either a trans or whatever. But no, it seems that even, you know, non-trans people...
Cisgen is what it's called, man.
Are doing that. Now, I'm surprised that nobody's doing it at AZ because we have this big thing about diversity, etc., etc.
I've seen people do it on Zoom. And I must admit, the first person that I saw
Hi,
do it...
Hi, Sarah.
Hello, Sarah. I knew this person was a woman, but she had very, very short hair. And a lot of blokes think if a woman's got hair that short. So she might have put it in to help them out. I don't know. But actually in Zoom, in the bit that comes up under the window, which... And I thought, can you imagine if everybody did that? You'd be blinded by it. Sorry. I read the one next to you. Sorry.
Anyway, changing the subject, I've got a shopping with Mike story.
Oh, has something gone wrong, Mike?
Yeah. I put in a Tesco order yesterday and I couldn't get fennel, so I ordered pak choy and that came. So today we've got an Asda order coming in about an hour or so, and so I'll put a fennel in and I put some steak, and this steak, you get 2 pieces of steak for £3.70 and it's 340 grams.
You see how he does the maths on this?
And when I got the text this morning, it said there's no fennel, we substitute it with a pak choy. I've already got one of those last night, so that's good. Luckily, you can hand it back to the driver.
Can I ask what you ordered a pak choy for? Because it tastes like nothing.
Because I like to put it in stir fries.
Fair enough.
If you'd rather have nothing.
I've got some cotton wool in the bathroom, if you'd rather.
It was only about 40p, so if you don't want it.
You're just really making a stand
with
that stuff.
If you don't want it, I'll have it.
Carry on.
Anyway, the steak, they didn't have the steak, so they substituted that with ribeye steak, which I thought, that sounds all right.
Isn't ribeye one of the best?
Yeah, posh and expensive. I don't know. What do I know about steaks?
True.
Anyway, it turns out that, yes, they're charging me the same amount, because they'll never charge you more if it's a substitution, but it's for one piece of steak at 220 grams instead of 2 pieces of steak at 340 grams. So we're getting swindled, basically.
Well, we'd end up with one piece of steak scrapping between us as to who had it.
Pak choy is very different to fennel, Sarah, yes. We had this discussion the other week.
Oh, yes, it is. There's no flavour to it at all. I mean, you're tending to use fennel in soup and things, so it's got a flavour. And pak choy to them, it's green. It looks the same. So
this is what happens when you let somebody else do your shopping for you.
Oh, that's why Mum wouldn't have home-delivered shopping until she tried it and the guy carried it all in and put it in the kitchen cupboards for her. Oh, after that, I'll just have that man back again. He's so much more useful than your father.
So where do you get your steak from, Johnny? Sainsbury's, I guess.
No, he's got a butcher. The kosher butcher, Mike. Yeah. That's what we need, a kosher butcher. Yeah.
Well, the Beth Din's got to take its cut.
Do you think here, Jonathan said, it's okay to be called sir one day when Liz gets round to it. She's getting the vaccination first, Jonathan, so she might have a lot of time on her hands while everybody else is waiting for theirs.
Is she the first one?
No, I don't think she's a guinea pig, but she's top of the list. Her and obviously Philip, I would imagine. Oh, I can imagine people, Kim, in the Navy saying sir. I can. I've been watching NCIS, the first series. Oh, loving it. Well, what's it's just turned up? Sean Murphy, what's his character? McGee, for the first time. And I'm thinking, good grief, look at the age of him. So I'm enjoying that. And every time I see it, I think of you. Hello, Sarah. Right. Now, see, Jonathan likes pak choy. To me, it tastes of absolutely nothing. The steak is so cheap that it might be, Jonathan, but there's still only one piece of it to fight over. Pak choy is more like the outer leaves of cabbage, would you say? Yeah. What's that thing that's got like crinkly green leaves? I think it's a certain type of cabbage. But to me, by comparison to fennel, it had no flavour. So there was my problem. It tasted of absolutely nothing. Oh, but never mind. Yes, you could put it in a stir fry and you can put it in the soup, but it's still like eating nothing. But you'd have to then boil up some herbs or something to give it some flavour, because otherwise it tastes of absolutely nothing. Oh, you got to love it, haven't you? £35 to £40 a kilo for fillet steak. I've no idea what steak we normally have, Jonathan, but it tastes absolutely fine. And I'd quite settle for the ribeye, but I do see your point. You're paying twice as much for half as much. So, no, I wouldn't do that. You don't like fennel. Fennel's a bit strong. I'll give you that. It can be very strong. We don't go mad with it in the soup, but it does add a nice flavour to it. We have miso soup. And it tastes nice, but I would say the majority of the flavour's probably coming from the fennel. Is that still got a white screen of death on it?
It looks like it.
I think I've killed it. Oh, well, never mind. Luckily, there's two more there. No, we have not opened them yet. What we set about doing today when we finally surfaced after a late night with the music show. We went long because we played an extra one, didn't we?
We did.
We were just going out to Andante Andante, which has become a tradition, when Kim... Oh, you made Kath's night, because it was the third Neil Diamond one, wasn't it? And it was one of her favourites, Sweet Caroline. So we slipped that in after Andante Andante, and then it was the Marseillaise. And we followed that by the Neil Diamond special for an hour. So it was a good night. It was a very good night. So we surfaced late-ish and then decided we would tackle the office to revamp it.
Yeah.
And
we're doing all right.
At some point, we'll finish that job.
Might not get to bed.
Well, no, because the things that have come out of the office, you know the things that you bring in the office to do things with, and then you need to do something else because something else is broken, that. Yeah, all that stuff's on the bed. So we need to sort it out before we can actually go to bed. You've been hunting for the French Connection to Sweet Caroline for an hour.
Lola's disgusted that she can't get on the bed.
Yeah, Lola's very disgusted because, you know, we've been putting the electric blanket for her. So we've got to shift that stuff as soon as. It's also book club night and Mike's got an Asda delivery. And book club night's incredibly exciting tonight because the author's joining us. So we've all got to massage his ego and tell him how fabulous the book is, which it is.
Reminds me of that Davy Lodge play when he was sat behind us.
Oh, I know. That's happened twice, hasn't it? We've been to two David Lodge plays. You might have heard of David Lodge from Nice Work, which was the late 80s. Yeah, the first play was called Home Truths. And if you remember, Margot was in it. An actress called Margot Lester. She is married to David Thacker, who was the artistic director at the Octagon. And I'd totally forgotten it was her. And the guy, was it Pitbull?
I think it was
Pitbull from London's Burning. Anyway, it was 1998. So it was about 8 months after Princess Diana had died. And the play is about the aftermath of Princess Diana dying. So it was in Birmingham, this play, because he's from Birmingham, David Lodge. So I'd been to a conference in Birmingham, the one where there was me and like 900 men, because none of the ladies apparently were systems engineers. Who knew? Well, while I'm in there, there's this theatre next door and I see this huge poster advertising this David Lodge play. And I love David Lodge's work. So I'm like, I just go across. When is it? So I don't think I booked the ticket straight away, but we made a special trip for opening night, I think, wasn't it? So we drove all the way down from Manchester to Birmingham, which is about 100 miles. Parked right behind the theatre. Got in. Had decent tickets as well, didn't we? Not front row, but about third. Well, before we even went in, so we're in the foyer and Mike's getting us a drink and I spot David Lodge because I'd actually met him at Manchester, hadn't I? We'd been to a reading at Waterstones. So I spot him and I'm trying to say to Mike, David Lodge is over there. And it, what? What? No, shut up. David Lodge, he's over there. Ventriloquism. Anyway, he finally twigged. We gets in there and he sat in front of us, wasn't he? Oh, I enjoyed the play so much. It was amazing. So at the end, I did actually say, I really, really enjoyed that. Then we went to another one. What was that one called? It was the Stream of Consciousness one. The name of which totally escapes me. But you know the one I mean.
I do. Was it a Bolton?
It was a Bolton.
Bolton.
Yeah. And what they'd done with the stage thing was nothing short of amazing. Octagon is in the round, but the space that they have, they change it all the time for each play. And the first one we'd seen there, they'd actually...
Was it Noises Off?
No, that was a comedy. It was the same year, though. The first time we'd been, it was like a proper stage. So I remember having a conversation with George. We were going because my favourite actor was in this play. And afterwards, there was a meet the cast and have a chat. And I remember talking to him and... We were looking upwards, weren't we? Because we stood on the stage. When we went back for the second play, you walked in and it was like, whoa, what happened? Because instead of this stage that was about 4 foot off the floor, there was a glass floor. And below that, there was like, it was Arthur Miller's All My Sons. So it was like strewn aircraft parts. It was amazing. The one after that...
Secret Thoughts.
Secret Thoughts, that's the one. The one after that, they use the same glass floor, but in the play, there's supposed to be a fire. And it's not, as it's written, you're not in the fire. The fire's like next door. And what they did with this glass floor was they pumped smoke into it so you could see the smoke from this fire. It was amazing. The spaces they have and what they do with them is stunning. And this Secret Thoughts one, do you remember the jacuzzi?
Yeah,
the stage was flat in front of us, so it looked like they'd not built one up and they'd not built down. It was just the standard floor. And the next minute, the scene changes. So somebody comes on and like nicks a chair and a table off the other side, and they are in the jacuzzi. And they lift this wooden thing off, and there's a jacuzzi in the stage. And I'm looking like, is that real? Good God, we were really close to it. It was amazing what they did with it. And he was there as well that night. And I went to my, David Lodge, he's on the right, because we were on the left-hand side. We had a great view, though, that night, a really good... But, I mean, his stuff is very... He was a literature professor, professor of English literature at Birmingham University. But the stuff that he wrote was comic. It was very, very funny. The one you might have seen is Nice Work, and it was a drama, comedy drama, with Hayden Gwynn and Warren Clark. In the late 80s. I think they only ever repeated it once, didn't they? And I tried recording it off something like UK Gold and onto a video cassette. So the quality was variable at best. But I did get the DVD of it in the end. And I absolutely love that. If you ever get a chance to see it, it's really worth it. Was it Waiting for Godot? No, I've never seen that at the theatre, Paul. My only experience with that, because I'm not a great fan of his, was a programme, you might have seen it, it might have gone on in the States, called Theatreland. And it was one of these reality shows, and I am not big on reality shows. And this one was on a channel. I've no idea how I ever saw this. And I only saw, like, 20 minutes of it. And it was a reality show based around a theatre in London. I can't remember which one. But it was at this theatre, you were mainly seeing... the staff, so not the actors, but mainly the staff. And it was like how nervous they were and everything. But you did see the actors in rehearsals and you did see them flying around. Good evening, Simon. And one was this girl, and she had to, it was the opening night of Waiting for Godot with Patrick Stewart and Ian McKellen. And they were both absolutely amazing in it. But the bit that interested me was they were very nervous. I mean, it's a tough piece to do, isn't it? Mm. And they were very nervous. And they had this guy walking round after them. I don't know what his proper title was, but Mike said, what's he doing? You know, he wasn't like a dialect coach or something. He was just wandering around after him. And I said, he's their talker-upper. And Mike said, they're what? I said, they're talker-upper. I said, they come off stage with like, oh, I could have done better. That wasn't great. I said, and this guy, they employ somebody to walk behind them and go, you were marvellous, darling. You were amazing. And Mike looked and I said, watch him. And that's exactly what this guy did. And I said, I want one of those. Can I have one of those? Never mind a virtual assistant. You know, I want a talker upper. Somebody should just sit next to me all day saying, you're marvellous, darling. Seriously, that's what this guy did. But the entire piece was... So well done for a reality thing. I think it was around the time of the one, what was it? Was it called Airport? The one with Jeremy?
Yeah.
Around the time of that. And the funniest bit was, on the opening night, they were nervous as anything, so the talker-upper had his hands full. And there was this young girl, she couldn't have been more than about 17, and she'd been given the job of pouring somebody some tea. You wouldn't think that was hard, would you? And they said, you know, can you just serve the tea in the box tonight, this particular box? And she said, yeah, fine, no problem. And then she checked and she found out who was in there. And I can't remember one, but I do know exactly who the other one was. But there were, oh, I know who it was. Right, one was Judi Dench and the other was Maggie Smith from Downton. When she found out who it was, she said, I'm not going to be able to pour the tea. I'm going to have it all over the pair of them. She ended up pouring it, like, by the door. And she's wandering in with the tea and you could hear the cup rattling. She was that nervous. They were both really sweet to her, which is good because I've met Maggie Smith and she's very intimidating, is Maggie Smith. She was in a play with one of my other favourite actors, Edward Fox, and he had to learn Russian for this play, which was nothing short of stunning. But what I did with it, I bought the box set of this theatre land because I wanted to see the rest of it. I only saw this 20 minutes and I really enjoyed it. So I've got to admit, hand up, hands going up. Hello. Yes, I actually bought the box set of a reality TV show. But it was theatre land and that was pretty good. Not even sat down to watch the rest of it yet. But because I'm sorting the office out, had my hand on it today. It's now with its brethren. There is a box of brethren, isn't there?
There is.
Which has got DVDs in it. So the DVDs I've got in there are a boxed set of Yes Minister and Yes Prime Minister. And the other box set I've got is Borgen. Did that ever go on in the States? It's a Danish drama, a political drama. Obviously, it's in Danish. So watching it, I can manage about 1.5 episodes before I start to get really tired because I'm trying to see the action, read the subtitles, see the action, subtitles. I need to be Tracy. I need a million languages. But I have learnt a few words of Danish.
Yeah, talking of Tracy and Kesara Sarah.
Oh, tell them what happened. Yeah. If you didn't hear the end of Brooklands last night, it was a scream.
I put into the playlist last night, as you know, last night's theme was France and all things French. So I put into the playlist Kesara Sarah, Doris Day. And Tracy comes on WhatsApp and says, "What's the French connection?" And I was about to type. Well, I actually did type back to her, "Que sera sera is French." And before I pressed enter, I thought I better just check.
So, because Tracy will know.
I did the Googles, and "Que sera sera" is Spanish.
But Tracy is never going to let you live that one down. Hello, babe.
Kimmy tried to save my bacon and find some tenuous French connection.
Oh, I think you did brilliant with that. There's no way I could have found that. No. Right, do you want your dentist stick now? We have dentist Kim here, so she could prescribe one for you. A dentist stick. Yes. I wonder if I chewed on it, if it would do my teeth any good. Probably not. It's like wood. Right, dentist stick. But we have to do two high fives for that. One on the left. High five. Come on. High five. Well done. And there's the treat. And off she toddles with it. Backing up, backing up. She can't turn around because there's a bin bag over there. Full of detritus from the office. Oh, we had a heck of a night. Do we have a theme for next week or is it too soon? Bit soon, Jonathan. Actually, this week's was changed 2 seconds before he decided to announce it. We announce it on a Wednesday night. Shall we put it in Slack now as well?
Yeah.
The theme for Brooklyn. Yeah. We'll put it in Slack on Wednesday night. There you go.
I'll go make dinner in a bit as well.
Felt Hitchcock would have had to do something in France. I would never have got that. But Mike's face was, it's Spanish, isn't it? I didn't know. No point asking me.
Yeah, you know when your heart sings. Luckily, it's just a bit of fun.
Can I share my highlight of the night?
Go on.
Last night. Well, given the fact that Mike not only got his O-level in French, just to shame me. Luckily, I got the other 15, but I do not have a qualification in French. But Mike went on and got an A-level in French. So that means not only can he speak French, but he actually did the French literature part of it as well.
Yeah.
So he's fluent in French. He misspelt voulez-vous. And I knew he had.
Well, it was a typo.
I still spotted it. That's a miracle for me. And because I think there's some thinking that, you know, we've had a French night, we need a Spanish night. And I'm running away screaming because we know what my pronunciation's like. I'm not good at languages other than English. I hold my hands up. That's not my skill set. So when Mike picked French and all the songs were in French, I had a great night. I had a great night, didn't I?
You did.
You'll pay for that. You will. I've gone straight on from speaking French last night Why is it that Eric Cantona and I can hold a conversation, and that's fine, but with anybody else?
Je ne sais pas.
Mm, exactly.
Oh, on the news tonight, I didn't say goodbye, stay safe, and God bless. I said au revoir.
I'm definitely not. But I did say if we did do Spanish, I'm minted, because I've got all of ABBA's back catalogue to go at. He's not taking the rubbish down tonight. One of the two lifts out of action, which means there's a line for the remaining lift and I'm not waiting 20 minutes or climbing 26 flights. Can you have Lady Siri announce the sounds? Oh, Paul, that's a fabulous idea. I'm not sure how the Brooklands people would think about it, but there's probably a French one, isn't there?
It's a way to introduce them to MacBites.
You reckon?
Slowly, slowly.
They'd be terrified. You know what they're like with tech. Oh, I do hope we're going to enjoy these pictures that we'll be taking of the mess we're making, because at the minute it's basically just a mess, isn't it?
Mm.
We are sitting in here surrounded by detritus. I asked them at the beginning if I sound the same, and they said I do. But I can definitely hear more of an echo because we've shifted a lot of the stuff out of here. It's all in the bedroom. But, you know, if we only had another bedroom, then we wouldn't have to tidy that one before we try and get some sleep.
True.
Well, we did have lots of bedrooms. There was four bedrooms, but we don't have them anymore. Because now one's an office and one's a studio and, you know. So, no, there's just the one bedroom. Mind you, it does stop people inviting themselves to stay, doesn't it?
Yeah.
People who might just be, you know, I'll get blind drunk and sleep over. Yeah, no, you won't. Not unless you want to sleep stood up in a wardrobe, you won't. Oh, we do have one downstairs. They could sleep in the extension. Of course, there is one slight issue with the extension, isn't there?
What?
We chose not to have blinds put in.
Oh, yeah.
So you might frighten the neighbours. What they were going to do was put the extension in and put the double glazed windows in, which are metal. Some double glazed windows, the cheaper ones, are just plastic, which don't last that long anyway. The ones you want are the metal ones covered in plastic, which is what we went for. So you're doing it for like temperature control, noise control. And then do you want these blinds? The blinds were obscenely expensive. They were blinds. I mean, they were standard blinds. Oh, no, it was the ceiling blinds, wasn't it? There were standard blinds across a window. And if you know what the top of a conservatory looks like, blinds up there. And I said to Mike, they'll get filthy. And you can't really clean them properly. They'll never look new. So I said, well, how much are they? And weren't they about £16,000?
Something ridiculous.
And I'm like, but pardon? Honestly, they were obscenely expensive. And the guy who ran the business that was building the extension, as luck would have it, or as he thought, his brother ran the blinds business. And I thought, I'm just not paying it. I'm not paying that to put blinds in. In the end, we discussed it. And I said to Mike, you buy those blinds, they'll never look new again. You'll probably need to replace them in 3 to 4 years. Why don't we just get a proper roof put on the thing and you know, we'll have an extension, not a conservatory. So that's what we did. But we still needed blinds at the window. That's the logical place. And then we looked at the price of those. And I think he still wanted £8,000 for blinds for the windows. But we did get Nina. I remember Nina really early on when we were talking to each other. Chidge had found this blind company. Do you remember?
Mm.
And they came in and it was a decent job and it was inexpensive. And I still have that number. But we decided in the end, you know, the garden is pretty much secluded anyway. Mm. So why bother? Apart from to stop people seeing your Christmas tree and then publicly shaming you in July, obviously. Wish you could see my face. So there are no blinds in there. Mm. Or curtains. So you can sleep in there if you like, but you might frighten the neighbours. On the other hand, the neighbours might frighten you.
True.
With our neighbours. Simon well knows. You go make dinner because we've got to have dinner, we've got the book club and we've got the delivery and then we need to do something in the office or we've got nowhere to sleep. And I've still broken the iMac. The iMac's not turning on now. It's okay, don't panic, it's an old one. It was the one that I resurrected to High Sierra. It won't go any further. It was called Boomer. Originally it was called Dionysus, which is the god of revelry and wine. And I did have 3 fantastic years with it. Then it went back for repair. And it went back for repair like 27 times. So when it finally returned, I called it Boomer, as in Boomerang. When I rebuilt it, I actually called it Boomerang instead of Boomer. And I think it's finally gone. So we may have an RIP here. Right, what's going on? We're talking about lifts, are we? Let's have a look. I need to go back up a bit. It's jumping. Jonathan, do you not have one of those chute things you could fly it down? I watched a true crime thing about that. This woman is supposed to have committed suicide down the rubbish chute, or whatever you would call it. The garbage chute, that thing. She didn't. She was murdered. Somebody actually put her down there, but that's a whole different story. I'm going to investigate that, Paul, about Siri with the sounds. That could be brilliant. I'm looking for the bit. Oh, there we go. Can you see the COVID testing site from the flats? The right-hand one's temperamental. Oh, about time. Isn't that the one that made a noise when you were trying to sleep? Is that the same one? They all clock off around 7:30. I wonder how long the COVID testing centre will still be there. I know they're finally putting people in the Nightingale hospitals. So you never know, do you? Don't go anywhere near it. No, absolutely not. Ooh, Jonathan's having tests every week. Do you know how absolutely stunned would you be, Jonathan, if one week they came in and said you'd got it? Because we know how careful you're being. I wonder sometimes whether they're false positives as well as false negatives. Do you know, Jonathan's amazing, isn't he? He's got a side hustle and he's not even leaving the house. They come to him. It's genius, Jonathan. Oh, good grief. Oh, you've got cordless blinds. Let's have a look. I thought what we'd do if we needed it, and I was thinking, you know, the door might be a good place to start. They do kind of frosted glass, but it's like a transparent layer that you kind of, basically like sticky back plastic, only it's specifically for doing that. Oh, they look gorgeous. Now, they are much, much nicer than the ones these guys were offering. They were like a tatty fabric thing, like you say, with a string. They were awful, but they're beautiful. I don't think they'd work in the extension, only because we don't have a frame like that for them to sit in. But they're gorgeous. Now in Britain, we don't tend to have like an inside frame like that. But that I would like. Oh, I'm going to have to find one now for the ones that would work. I don't think the kitchen would work, but we've got the hall would work, and there's a little cupboard under the stairs, and that's got a window in it. It would work in there. Our windows are awkward shapes and sizes, that's the problem. But I think that might just work in the bedroom at a push. Oh, I'm tempted now. Oh, Paul, you know when I do that to you and you buy tech, you're tempting me with blinds. I'm clearly losing my mind. I must be high on the fumes of the cleaning fluid. That's what it is. And Kim's already got those. Oh, fabulous. They must look amazing. I really like those. They're not like that, the ones that we were... Let's see if we can find them. Right, let's see if we can find something. No, it doesn't like that. Page not found. Crying out loud. Come on. Right. These are all nicer than the ones that they were trying to sell us. These Roman blinds that kind of fold over, but they were basically like fabric. And I thought, they'll never clean. They're not the kind of blinds that clean nicely. What on earth is that? No, I think the nearest I can see... Although they've got this picture here, and it was the kind of stuff that they would have had in there. It was like swathes of fabric like this one. Oh, there's a picture of it up over the window. Let's take that one. Sort of like this, but they went like up into the ceiling as well, which was all a bit weird. Let me cloud up it. Swathes and swathes of this kind of fabric actually in the roof. And what he was attempting to do was trying to sell us a glass roof, which we didn't want. Did that work? I think it did. There we go. Sort of like that, but where that stops at the top of the frame, this thing carried on because it was going up into the rafters of it. And I just thought it would ruin the look of the thing entirely. That's a good one. Let's grab that. Let's stick that one in there. Oh, hang on, where's the text box gone? There we go. If you can imagine that with it carrying on up to the ceiling, I said it would look like... I usually say an Arab bazaar, but I think I said like a harem. It's just full of fabric. I'm not a full of fabric person. Let's just say that I'm not. But I'm liking Kim's though. I am. I think that's our problem, Jonathan. The windows are bay windows, so they've got sides to them at an angle. But it would work on where we have straight windows. So the bedroom has a straight window, but it's very wide. And the front, the back room downstairs does. But we don't really need to think about the back room because that just opens onto the extension. Ooh, Bali blinds. I shall have a look at that. I will have a look. Ah, fun and games we have, don't we? You tempting me with blinds, I never thought the day would come. But Paul's managed it. Well, tomorrow, fingers crossed, assuming everything goes all right with what we've got planned tonight, we should at least have the answer to one question. If we have managed to get the RAM installed, get them out of the box and get the RAM installed and get them on the desk, we should have the answer to the question, is it Biggles'd? I'm still in two minds. Half of me thinks Apple would not do a BTO and put Catalina on it. And the other half of me thinks they'll do exactly that. What? It's like, is it a boy or is it a girl, isn't it? And then the question becomes, if it's Catalina, if it's Biggles, you've no choice. But if it's Catalina, do you leave it at Catalina where you're happy and content? Or do you just Biggles it? Because you're going to have to Biggles it at some point. So that is for tomorrow. Sarah's got a... We should... Exactly, Sarah. That's a brilliant idea. Let's take a vote. Who thinks what? Get it in the chat. And then we'll compare who was right. So Sarah thinks Catalina. What will you do if one has Biggles and the other doesn't? Jonathan, I thought about that earlier today. I thought, could you imagine? Because we'll do Mike's first. Because I need to fit the RAM. Mike doesn't do RAM. So we'll have to put his on my desk and then I'll have to get the RAM in it. And then we'll put it on his desk. So if he gets his and he turns it on and, you know, it's Biggles. And I get mine and turn it on and it's Catalina. And he said he'd be quite happy with Catalina. And I'm thinking, well, I'll probably Biggles it, but I don't know. Yeah, we might have to swap. But I don't think that works for the Apple Care, does it? So, oh, no, you can't just take the hard drive out. That won't work either. Oh, it's so exciting. So Sarah's making that decision. I think, but don't quote me, I think Mike might decide to stay on Catalina. He doesn't like change, bless him. And there's always the slight issue. There might be something that's not quite right. And you don't know about it. But I'm at the point where I know what I'm doing in January and I need to make some videos. And if I make them on Catalina, they're going to look out of date within a matter of weeks. Whereas with Biggles, they don't. So it's looking like Biggles. I actually said to him, I'd rather it was Biggles out of the box and then I don't have to think about it. But given the fact that Paul's wasn't and Sarah's wasn't, I've got a sneaking suspicion it's going to be Catalina. But we will see. Paul's going with Catalina as well. Jonathan's going with Biggles for a difference. Paul's Catalina. Are they the same or are they labelled Elaine and Mike? Mike's got Mike's name on it and mine's got mine on it. We ordered it for the Apple Care purposes. The only thing I didn't do with that, and it's really weird now, I ordered the phones because Mike was at work, the iPhone 11s, and I got the Apple Care for the pair of them. And then obviously it was his Apple Care and it's still on my account. So we're not going to worry about it until it actually needs to be dealt with. So if we can order our own, we tend to order our own. It makes life far easier with Apple, because there's a funny story with the AppleCare on a replacement Mac. But I shall discuss that at a future point. It was hysterical in the end. But it's easier if you just buy it on your own account, which is what I would probably go for. So, yes, on the label, it's got the address, but it does actually have the name at the top of it. So we do know whose is whose. Sarah's nervous about going Biggles. I have to reboot the whole Mac yesterday and restart from scratch. So waiting a while before I go through more emotions. Can't handle it right now. I feel your pain. I feel your pain. I remember how nervous I was the first time I did, we had a name. It's like a system update, but it was one of these system updates where everything, you don't unplug it, don't breathe. And I was absolutely petrified. Obviously, I've eased up as time's gone on, but so Paul would wait. What's it doing, Paul, that would make you say wait? I must admit, the laptop, I'm not that impressed with it. Not that there's anything particularly wrong with it. It's just like I open the App Store knowing full well there's app updates and there's nothing there. And I minimise the App Store and about 20 minutes later it says, oh, it's an update. And I'm like, well, you should check for that when I open it, not just leaving you sat there for 20 minutes. Is there anything worse than that? How is the M1 chip really going? Everybody loved it. And now everybody's saying, yeah, the Bluetooth's not right and the SSDs aren't right and something else isn't right. So I believe it can run Windows, but Mike wants 100% guaranteed compatibility with the E3 version of all his plugins. So for him, getting an iMac now is the right time. Peruse the Apple community forums. Lots of angst. You're running the beta, so you're on 11.1 and it's working well. How do we get all the stuff on the new Mac? Yeah, you wanted that covered, didn't you? So what we'll do while we're doing it is make notes of how we're doing it. I don't think we will carbon copy cloner it, no. There's a couple of ways to go about it. One way is you do it all manually. That way madness lies, but it's probably the way I would do it. You've also got the migration wizard. Now, the migration wizardy thing was what Pete did. And Pete's did not go well. If you remember, Pete did some kind of upgrade before he started. And he was all ready to go. And then he got the migration thing going. And it took all night, went into the next day. And in the end, he said he didn't think it was working. So he stopped it and started again. And I think the second time it worked. But it took like 3 days to get everything set up. Right, let's have a look. Sarah's not sure what she needs to check before upgrading. I have a clean machine, so if it goes wrong, I can reboot again. Don't copy from your old Mac. I wouldn't, to be honest. Mike's contemplating it, but I wouldn't. I have never done that. I have never done the migration thing, ever. I don't believe in it. I think if, you know, you're carrying stuff across from one machine to another with no guarantee that that's a good idea. So I tend to just start from scratch. That's why I would have been thinking about Biggles first before I put the software on rather than later. It seems silly to me to have a new machine sat there, put all your stuff on it and then put Biggles over the top. But I don't know. I don't know till I'm going to sit and have a look at it. If it had already Biggles, the decision would be out of my hands. So I'm actually thinking it would be far easier for me if it was Biggles. But I don't know how Mike would feel about that. We'll see. We should have the answer tomorrow. So tune in tomorrow for the answer. I agree with you, Anthony. I've already said to Mike, you know, like, what's this and why have I got it installed? I might have been testing something or... And there's two ways to go about it. You can sit there and try and get everything installed you could conceivably need. And then you'll start to do some work. Or you can take the other approach, which is make a list of what's critical. 1Password, Dropbox, Google Drive, any other clouds if you use them. Make a list of what's absolutely critical and install that. And then start work. And, you know, if I was to start work, in air quotes at that point, with the basics on there, what's the first thing I'd need? well, I need access to Notion. Well, that's fine. I've got a browser. And I'm putting the slides together. I'm going to need to install Office. And that's how I would maybe go about it. Just install what I want when I need it. And that way I'm not thinking, I'll put that and that and that and that. And I'd end up not using them. I think I use them, but I actually don't use them. So I'm with Anthony on that. Just see it as an opportunity to start from scratch. But there are things you can do to make the whole thing less painful. So I will share that, Kim. I will. Kim's always added everything from scratch with the apps and added the personal stuff from a CD. It's been a while. I would probably put it on an SSD and just do a manual transfer myself. But we will discuss all of that when we've actually done it. When I can see, we're aiming tonight for being able to, for the office to be perfect, just to put the Macs in tomorrow. And that's going to be tricky. We have freed a drawer up though, because Madam's got a treat drawer now. She's looking very suspicious at it. She's had a little cardboard box up till now, but she has a whole drawer out of a Helmer drawer unit to play with all her treats in. So she's going to be a happy dog. When she realises that's her drawer, she'll be happy. So I did clear a drawer out. I also found things like, Paul's going to laugh at this, a FireWire 400 cable. Because, you know, who doesn't need a FireWire 400 cable? Right, so part two of that tomorrow. More adventures in the office tomorrow. Wait till she can open the drawer. Might mention that because I said the handle's like metal and I don't see her doing that. But I said we could put a little tie on it so we know it's hers. And Mike said, oh, just so she can open it. And I thought, yeah, that's the point. So I think you're spot on there. At the moment, yeah, she could probably do it with her claws. Let's say nobody tell her that. She will learn to love it. At the minute, she's a bit reticent, Kim. She's like, where's the box gone? But once I opened it and there was treats in it, her face was comical, like, oh, where did they come from? They used to be cables. So she did like to take a little bit of adventure in it. She's quite timid in terms of like, not being touched, but anything near her head. She doesn't like anything over her head. So if she's coming near and she's like passing the arm of the chair, she's like backing off or moving to the side. Doesn't like anything over her head. I don't know if she's had a bad experience, you know, before she arrived here. But she did take a few steps over and have a look at what was in there. So I can imagine in a couple of days, I'll open the drawer and her head will be in it. And I won't be able to close the drawer. That'll happen, I'm telling you. But watch this space tomorrow for more news from Update Headquarters on... Although we've had 2 days of our holiday, tomorrow's like the first day Mike's not actually at work. So that's very special as well. So we'll be back with you tomorrow. But for the moment, I shall say goodbye from me and I will say goodbye from Mike. And we will both see you next time. Stay safe, guys.